Thanks for indulging me in that. I just can't bear to sit and sing A Mighty Fortress. And A Mighty Fortress is obviously not just for the last Sunday in October either, for Reformation Day. It's very appropriate for today, especially for our epistle reading for today, where Paul tells us about putting on the whole armor of God that we might be able to resist those flaming arrows of the evil one. And so that's why we dropped it in there today, as well as the fact that a whole bunch of you requested it as one of your favorite hymns. And so got that in there for you today. But that's not the text that we're going to focus on this morning. The word of God to which we direct our attention is our gospel reading from Mark chapter 7. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
What goes in must come out, right? That's how the saying goes. It's a fundamental principle that applies to everyone and to everything. Food and water go into your mouth and are expelled after being processed by your digestive tract. There's also a principle in research and in statistical reporting that says garbage in, garbage out, right? Those of you who are accountants probably know that or have done some research. Garbage in, garbage out, which simply means that whatever it is that you put in on the front end is going to be reflected in what comes out on the backside, right? So if your data is bad to begin with, then the results that you get in your reporting are also going to be bad and probably unhelpful for you as well. Whatever you see, whatever you hear, and whatever you read also is going to be expelled after being processed by your brain. So it's not just about what you put into your mouth, it's about what you put in through your eyes and your ears and all of your other senses as well. What goes in must come out. And those things that you expose yourself to are quite likely to be the kinds of things that flow from your speech and from your actions and from your life. But Jesus' take on this what goes in must come out is a little bit different when we hear it in our gospel reading for today. Jesus says there is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him. If what goes in must come out, then shouldn't Jesus be concerned about what comes into our mouths and what comes in through our eyes and through our ears? The simple answer to that question is yes, Jesus is concerned about those things to a degree, and you absolutely should be concerned about those things. But Jesus here is talking directly to a specific group of people, and obviously through them to us as well. But he's talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to the teachers of the law. These are the ones who built up rules and laws far beyond what the Old Testament had given to them. If you heard our Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy, what was the command that they had? Do not add to these commandments or take away from them. This is the group of people that was just doing just that, adding to them. And perhaps what they were doing was for the good of the people and for themselves, so that they might add an extra hedge of protection around them, so wide that they'd really be very unlikely to break the actual God-given laws. And if the intention of that and the execution of it were honorable, and they weren't giving the impression that this was what God had given to us, that these were the laws that God had laid down, that probably wouldn't be such a bad thing. To create for ourselves a little bit wider berm, so that what actually God has said for us in the law is a little bit harder for us to break. But as with anything that we do, intentions and execution oftentimes get distorted. And those intentions and that execution are used to serve our own sinful nature and purposes. It becomes very easy for us to say when we do this sort of thing, look how good I am over here at obeying all of these rules that I've created. When what we should really be thinking is, look at how good God is, who would cleanse me from the sin that's within me. The disciples, of course, were well acquainted with all of these Pharisaical traditions, which is why this teaching is just as foreign to them as it is to the Pharisees, and why Jesus has to pull them aside and help them to better understand what he's saying. And Jesus explains it further to the disciples by saying this: do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and then is expelled? That would have been earth-shattering news for all of them who heard Jesus say this, because the law that they were following would say that, in fact, whatever goes into you does defile the body. But Jesus' message here for them, and for you too, is that what defiles the body is not what is put in from the outside, but what comes and what springs up from within. And what are these things that come from within? It's that laundry list of terrible things that concluded today's gospel reading. Evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. This is the gospel of the Lord. And you all saying, praise be to Christ, right? The gospel of the Lord. Where's the good news in all of that? Where was the good news in our gospel reading today? Because whenever we look at a text, especially a gospel text, it's imperative that we figure out where the gospel is. And at first glance, it might be very hard to find it in today's reading. For some people, maybe the gospel is in that little parenthetical aside that Mark makes in the middle of the reading. Did you catch that? If you were reading along with us, that little in parentheses, what Mark says? It's the only thing in the entire text that's not a direct quote from Jesus. And Mark's interjection there makes it clear what at least a portion of Jesus' teaching means in a practical sense for those who are hearing it. Did you get it? Mark said, thus he declared all foods clean. So is that the gospel? Is that the good news? It sounds like good news. Those old Levitical laws no longer have to apply, at least as they pertain to food, right? That's good news, I think. Because now I can have my grilled ham and cheese sandwich. I can have bacon with my eggs at breakfast, can't I? We don't have to feel bad about all of those brats that we served on Friday at Miesvelt's that Andy and Mark cooked up for us. You guys can have your lobster dinner if you want. Not me, because it would probably kill me. Now, all that is good news, right? But it's not the good news. It's not the gospel. There are very few times that we can't clearly find the gospel in the appointed gospel reading for the day. But this is one of them. Which is why we have the whole Word of God. Because the full counsel makes it clear to us what the gospel message is. The full counsel of God in His Scripture makes it clear that the law sheds a light on who we are. It acts as a mirror for us, allowing us to look and to actually see and accurately see who we are. And who we are on our own is often not a pretty sight. Well, I told you I was going to get to the gospel. That's not the gospel right there. That's law, obviously. But we need to hear the law in order to understand the gospel, in order to be ready to receive what God has given to us in his good news. So read that list again at the end of Mark chapter 7, our reading for today, if you need to. Maybe you haven't done every one of those things, but if you look into the mirror, what's going to be reflected back to you is someone who has done at least some of those, who is guilty of trespassing against the law in many, many different ways. And what we see reflected in the mirror is not a result of what we've eaten. It's not a result of something that we've watched. It's not a result of something that we have heard. It's because since the fall, we have a sinful nature. And we should be on a constant mission to curb that sinful nature. And watching what we eat, watching what we see on the television or on the computer screen, watching what we listen to, are going to be things that we can do certainly to help to curb that sinful nature, for sure. But the only true solution to the problem that we have is to be cleansed, to be washed clean, and to be made new. It was done for us in our baptisms. But Jesus does it for us also every time we acknowledge our sinful nature and we fall before him asking for forgiveness. He proclaims that cleansing in the words of absolution, and then he delivers it to us in his body and blood. And he's the only one who can, because he won that forgiveness for us on the cross. It's a huge weight off the backs of sinful people like us to know that when our sinful hearts turn from God and become defiled, he is forever ready to cleanse us. But that too could very easily become a stumbling block. Continuing to come for that refreshment and that cleansing of God's forgiveness without an actual desire to change your heart and mind and direct them more toward God is not true repentance. And true repentance is what God desires. So we do seek ways to focus our hearts and our minds on the one who commands and who empowers true repentance. Sometimes that might actually include evaluating what you're taking in. Because it's hard to focus on God when what we're consuming is so directly in conflict with his will. So be careful about what goes in. Be careful about what goes in through your mouth and through your eyes and through your ears. But above all, deliberately consume what you know is God's will and his way. In the preface to the Large Catechism, Luther says this. He says, "Nothing is so powerfully effective against the devil, the world, the flesh, and all evil thoughts as to occupy oneself with God's word." That's what needs to be going in. And here is the gospel. Because God gives us the way out. The gospel that we have here in Mark chapter 7 is the same gospel that runs like a thread throughout all of Scripture. Is that God gives us the way out. He gives us the way to overcome that sinful nature that we've had since the fall. He has overcome through Jesus Christ so that we can partake in that victory that he's won over sin and death and the devil. So focus on Him. His word will not just enter your stomach and be expelled. It will enter into your heart. It will cover over those defiled parts of your heart. And it's going to transform not just your heart, but your mind as well. And as you allow God to be in control, as opposed to your sinful nature, good things are going to start coming out. That's part of the law too, you know. As we recognize that great sacrifice that God made for us in Christ Jesus, and the salvation that's been won for us, our reaction to that becomes a life filled with godly thoughts and words and actions. That's the law as well. It directs us to do God's will. So may your life be filled with the love and the forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus that then will naturally pour out from you and will pour into the world around you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.